Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and I just wanted us to just start off with thinking about that and praying for those that have given their lives for our freedom. So join me in that. God, we could never thank family members and close friends enough of the ultimate prices that's been paid for our freedom. But God, this time is certainly a time that we're just reminded that freedom always comes with a price. And we're grateful for the freedoms that we have. And God, I pray for those that have had to feel that deep loss because of who has laid down their lives as a family member, as a close friend. And I pray that you'd comfort them. And God, help us to be a nation that would be great because of the way that we use our freedom. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we started this series called Don't Waste Your Life. That no matter where we are, no matter what stage of life we're at, that we would take and we would stop and we'd look at this and go, hey, what is it that I need to do? What is it needs to be a little different so that I don't waste my life? Because we don't want to waste our life. And as a church, we don't want to waste our opportunity as a church to be a church in this community and to be a church that even reaches beyond our community. And one of the things that we have recently made a decision to do is to go to 3 services. And so we're going to be going to 3 services in mid-August. And we did a survey last weekend, and some of you guys were here, and you kind of checked off on that. We said, hey, we're going to do a Monday night is when we're going to add a service. It's either going to be 6:30 or it's going to be 7 p.m. And we asked, hey, if you are either preferring that service or if you are willing to attend any of these services, just let us know what you're willing to do and also let us know what your preference is. And so I haven't seen the total, the results of this, but yet I've been able to look at some of the comments that were made on the cards. And so on that survey, there were some people that they wrote in, you know, hey, Sunday, I'll be here 5 p.m. Well, we won't be having services, but they wrote that in. Some people said, hey, what happened to Saturday night? I'll do Saturday night. And so there's some people that's just going, hey, we think these other options are good. And so I just wanted to kind of answer a couple things for you guys that maybe you're going, well, why are we doing Monday nights and how is this thing going to happen? Well, 15 years ago, we set out to be a church that we would reach seekers and we would build believers for the kingdom of God. And we said, hey, we want to do anything short of sin that we can do to be able to reach people for Jesus. And so we looked at this and evaluated and said, hey, we think that Monday night's a great option. And you might be going, but Will, what other churches are doing Monday night? Why would we do you're on to something. See, we're not in competition with other churches. We're going, hey, why don't we provide something that's not being provided? Why don't we offer something that's not being offered? And so we looked at this and said, hey, if we do Monday nights, there's families that they're just kind of weekend warriors. They're just going all weekend long. And some of those families are like going, I don't want to get up early on a Sunday. I don't want to give a midday on Saturday. And so we just looked at this and said, hey, what could we do and how could we offer to our community a time that would work? And so we said, hey, we think we can do Monday nights and we think we can do that well. Now, another question that's come up is, well, what's Monday night going to be like, and who's going to be here as far as who's going to be doing the music, who's going to be doing the teaching, what's that going to look like, who have you hired for that? And it's like, no, we haven't hired anybody. We're going to take what we do on Sunday mornings, and we're just going to carry that over into Monday nights, and it's just going to be an extension, an additional service of what we are doing. But the reason we're doing it is because we really believe it's going to be a great way for us to be able to cater to our community and offer them something that they're not being offered. And there's going to be many of you that you're going to go, hey, this is going to work better for me. There might be a few of you that myself or somebody else might approach and said, hey, you said you were willing. Would you at least give it a try? But we're going to look at this and see what can we do to make this thing a go, because I know it's a holiday weekend and we're not full seats in here right now, but we've got to find a way to be freeing up some seats on Sunday morning so that we can reach more people on Sundays, as well as provide another time that we can be reaching some people. So as a church, we don't want to waste the life of our church. Well, last week as we started this series called Don't Waste Your Life, we started it with this idea of living without regret. Of living without regret. What would that look like if we could live our life without regret? Now, I think everybody here goes, well, I've kind of missed that already because I've got some regrets, which is true. We've all got regrets. In fact, I think that we're introduced to regret the first time we get caught making a bad choice. That's when we are introduced to regret. And regret is this, it's a self-assigned blame for bad choices. And so we know what regret is, but what would it be like to be able to live our life forward with no regret going forward? That if we could do that, we could live a life that we would not waste. And so in order to get started in this, we said, hey, let's make sure that we understand some things about our Heavenly Father. Let's make sure that we understand some things about Him. Let's make sure that we understand some things about ourselves and who He's created us to be. And one of the things we looked at, we said, God lets us down. That God lets us down. And God doesn't let us down because He's imperfect. God doesn't let us down because He's just kind of tired and needed to take a nap. God doesn't let us down because He's so busy catering and caring for so many other people that have bigger needs than yours, and so He wasn't able to get to yours. None of those are the reasons that God lets us down. God lets us down because our expectations are in opposition to what He orchestrates or allows. That's when God lets us down. It's when we have these expectations of God, and yet what He does, He's either orchestrating something that's different and opposes what it is that we expect, or He allows. He takes and says, hey, people are going to make choices. There's going to be consequences to those choices. He doesn't interfere, and we end up experiencing some consequences for somebody else's choice. So God is, He's going to let us down. Another thing we said we need to understand about God is God's not fair. God's not fair. God's not going to take and say, I'm just going to bless everybody equally. Everybody gets the same opportunity. Everybody gets the same thing, and I'm going to bless everybody equally. And I know for some people, your fairness meter just kind of goes off. You're going, hey, that's not fair. That's not right. God shouldn't be like that. But God is God. He's perfect. None of us are. And so His way is always best. And so He does. He chooses to bless, but He does not bless us equally. So what does that have to do with regret? Because, see, sometimes we end up taking and we look at how God blesses us and we start comparing it to how He's blessing other people. And as we compare that, our comparison, it kills contentment. That before we're going, hey, this is great. Look how God blessed me. And then we see somebody else get a bigger blessing, or we keep seeing them get blessed more and more and more frequently than we're getting blessed. And we're going, well, what did I must have done something wrong. God's, I what did I do? What do I need to do differently? Because I need to be able to get that kind of blessing and that size and that often. But that's not how God works. In fact, we looked at in Matthew 25 where Jesus made up this story and He began to talk about some things so that we could see the heart of God and we could see how it is that we need to be aligned with God. And we're going to get back to that at the very end of the talk today. And we're going to pick up some pieces from there that we did not get to last week. And so when we think about blessings, God does bless us. And God blesses us with an expectation that when God brings a blessing our way, He expects us to use that blessing to bring honor and glory to Him. And when we begin to understand that, we can begin to start moving and living our life in such a way that we live without regret. See, we don't like regret because, see, when we have these lives of regret, that there's these products of regret. It poisons our outlook on the future when we have this regret in our life. That it paralyzes our ability to make choices because we're afraid that we're going to make the wrong choice again. The regrets, they come along in our life, they punish our present life over our past choices. And so we want to get past regret and live a life without regret. And I told you last week, we're going to pick that up today. And today we're going to talk about living on purpose. That if we're going to live a life without regret, then we need to live on purpose. So we're going to talk about living on purpose. Now, I'm 50 years old. And when I was growing up, there was something that I was not hearing in my years when I was growing up. And one of the things that I did not hear when I was growing up was, Will, you can do anything. Will, anything you set your mind to, anything you set your heart to, you can do anything. And I am grateful that that is not something I heard growing up. Because I just don't think it's true. I think that there's a lot of well-intentioned people, whether they're parents, whether they are teachers, whether they're coaches, whoever they are, that they're involved in the lives of kids. They're very well-intentioned, and they'll tell them, you can do anything you set your mind to. Don't let anybody tell you there's nothing you can't do. I never stood a chance of being Mr. America. It just wasn't in the cards. It doesn't matter how much I would set my mind to it, my heart to it, how much time I would give to it, how much I would consume. I would never be able to be Mr. America. That there are just some limitations. That's not an area where God was saying, hey, here's where I'm going to give you favor, and here's where you're going to be able to do something. Because we're not all the same. We don't just get a pick and say, hey, I can do anything I want to do. And so what does that have to do with living on purpose? Well, we need to understand that when we think about living on purpose, that misdirected optimism is a wasted life. That when we just have this misdirected optimism and we just think, oh, I could do that and I could do that and I could do this and I could be, and there's some things that we're just not going to be capable of. Things that we were never created to do or to be. And so we need to understand that, because we don't want to have this misdirected optimism that just takes and lets us kind of wander through life trying to achieve something that we would never be able to achieve. So we've got to begin to understand, well, what is my purpose? Who was it I was created to be? And how is it that I can live and fulfill that purpose, that I can live a life without regret? Because that is something that we can do. Because see, a misaligned life is a misdirected life. And we're misaligned and we get misdirected. And the further we go in life, the further away we're going to get from our purpose. And so we can't be misaligned. We've got to look and line up and go, how can I live my life on purpose? Because I believe that we absolutely can. That you were made on purpose. That you were made for purpose. You were made with purpose. You were made for purpose, you were made on purpose, you were made with purpose. We all have been created with a purpose. And so how can we begin to live our life on purpose? I want to share with you a psalm, Psalm 139. And this is an incredible psalm that shows how somebody was going on this discovery of seeing who they are in God, who God has created them to be. And so we're going to look at part of this together. Starting in verse 1. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. That's a scary thought. That God, you've examined my heart. You know everything about me. I'll tell you why that's scary. Because see, there's not a person on this earth that we would want to know everything about us. There are things, we've all made choices, we've all thought things, and we've all kind of questioned, and we're like going, we don't want anybody to know. We just kind of bury that in the deepest, darkest part of our heart. But our Heavenly Father, He has examined our heart, and He knows everything about us. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. That's how big God is. He's before us and He's following us all at the same time. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. This is good news. God, who knows everything about me, knows everything I've done. And yet He still chooses what? To place His hand of blessing on my head. And when he ponders this thought, he comes to this conclusion. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. Because I can't understand God with me and all of my motives, the evil, the selfishness, the things, my bad choice. I can't understand, God, why you would still choose to put your hand of blessing on my head when you know all of my thoughts and you know all of my actions. That is too wonderful for me to know and understand. You know, when it comes to doing church, so much of what I love to do and share with you guys is to share with you what God wants for you. And not really talk a lot about what God wants from you. Of course, nobody really likes to hear about what God wants from us, but we're all like, hey, what's he got for me? You know, I'll take. But I can't do this talk without talking about what God wants from you. I can't talk about don't waste your life, and I can't talk about living on purpose. I can't talk about those things without talking about what God wants from you, because he does. He wants something from you. I think, to be more clear, probably the best way to put it is God wants to take some things from you. And let me share with you some of those things that I believe God wants to take from you. God wants to take your guilt. God wants to take your shame. He wants to take your hurts, your disappointments, your bitterness, your animosity, your doubts. These are things that God wants to take from you. But God is not the guy that's just going to go, I'm just going to force myself and force my will on you, and you're going to have to do it exactly the way I've created you to be. Instead, he invites us to live life on purpose and live it the way that he created us to live. So instead of him taking from you, his hand is out saying, I'll take that from you if you'll give it to me. So when we talk about living without regret, that we can give back to God these things that we have that we've regretted so much, that we can give them, we can hand them because he wants to take these from us. And if we will hand them to him, he will do what only he can do with them. So to get to the heart of the talk today, I want to share with you 5 purpose-revealing questions. 5 purpose-revealing questions. And if you're taking notes, you're going to want to go ahead and get that out and write that down right now, because you're not going to see it anywhere to write that down. But 5 purpose-revealing questions. And so as we look at these 5 questions, these 5 purpose-revealing questions, as we look at these, they're going to start off kind of light, and they're going to keep getting more and more weighted as we go through them. And you might even be tempted as you look at some of these questions to go, I like that one, and I'm going to kind of just stop there, and I'm just going to use those, and I'm going to just create my purpose with just those. And you will miss living on purpose if you don't take all of these together and ask yourself, what is it about this? And begin to examine yourself, and now begin to align yourself to the purpose for which God has created you. So these 5 purpose-revealing questions. We're going to start light, and we're going to work our way to getting a little bit heavier. First question is, what do I like to do? What do I like to do? When it comes to hobbies, when it comes to sports, when it comes to social activities, when it comes to just playing, when it comes to working, what is it that I like to do? That God's created me and he's wired me, and I just thought, hey, what is it that I like to do? What is it that when it comes to the things that bring me joy and satisfaction, contentment, what is it when I'm spending my time just kind of flies by because I like doing this? See, you need to know that this is something that God wires us in such a way that we begin to like to do some of these things, and then when we begin to take those things and we begin to harness them for the purpose for which God's created us, we can take these things we like to do and begin to do things that we would serve God and serve others, and we would find great joy and purpose in life. So we start by asking, what do I like to do? Second question is, what do I do well? What is it when it comes to who I am, my gifts, my talents, my abilities, my skill set, what is it that not only do I like to do, but I actually do these things well? And maybe it's cooking, and some of you guys are going, I cook well, but I really don't like to do it. Okay, then that doesn't need to be the thing. Maybe it's this idea of tinkering, and you tinker well, and you're going, hey, I like to tinker well, but no, I really don't want to do it. And you begin to look, you look and go, hey, you know what? Compassion. I do compassion really well, just caring for people, being there, being a voice, being somebody that just kind of listens. What is it that you do well? So you look and say, hey, there's some things I like to do, and then there's some things that I like to do well. And these begin to move us further toward understanding what does it mean to live life on purpose. Let's get back to this Psalm 139 and discover a little bit more. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. That God's the one that's formed us. He's created us, okay? Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. And there's a little exclamation point. And if you're like me, you probably know some people in life that if this was describing them, there'd probably be a few more exclamation points behind that complex. And it's like, okay, well, God did that. And God's the one who made us, but it's a wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. That it's a passage like this that just allows me to see, you know, that life begins when there's this conception and God knows all these things about us. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. Think about that. The precious thoughts that God has about you, even though he knows all of your thoughts and he knows all of your actions, he has precious thoughts about you. And the precious thoughts that he has, they can't even be numbered because there's so many precious thoughts that he has. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. So you're made on purpose. You're made for purpose. You're made with purpose. And our God-given purpose is to make a difference. That our God-given purpose, it is to make a difference. And then what we need to all understand is that each and every one of us, we are a one-of-a-kind custom design. Every single one of us. We are a one-of-a-kind custom design. We have been made on purpose, for purpose, with purpose. So we need to look at some more questions to understand, well, how is it that I can understand more about my purpose? And the next question is, what burden breaks my heart? What burden breaks my heart? That there's some people that for them, they do this very genuine thing. And they see somebody going through something, they see somebody suffering through something, and their instant response, and they don't just think it, they actually express it. Oh, bless your heart. But see, if you ever hear me say that, that's not a genuine thought. When I say that, that's just my super polite way of saying, what an idiot. You know, it's like, oh, bless your heart. Yeah, you couldn't see a better choice. You know, you couldn't do, you know, that's just me. But I know that there's some people that they're very genuine. When they say, oh, bless your heart, it's a burden for them that they're watching somebody go through something. And the pain that they see somebody else go through, it begins to be a pain of theirs. That their heart hurts too. You know, I've heard it said, when you find your misery, you find your ministry. When you find your misery, what is it that your heart is just miserable because of the things that's going on in this world? And when you find your misery, you find your ministry. Because you begin to look and see, that's something I want to do something about. That's something I want to give my time, my effort, my energy. I want to begin to do something to help with that. Most of us in the room are probably familiar with Mother Teresa. Missionary to Calcutta, India, devoted her life to serving and caring for the lepers there, the skin disease that when society looked at them said, you are the cursed people of God. That's how society just viewed that. I don't think they were right, but that's what society did. And there was a group of people that they were there doing their week-long mission trip, just being there and observing and seeing, and then they were going to come back home. And Mother Teresa was there, and she was actually washing the feet of a leper. And as she was washing the feet of this leper, these week-long missionaries were walking by, and one of them said under their breath, "You couldn't pay me $1 million to do that." That they were so disgusted by it, just there was no way they could get that close. And Mother Teresa heard it. And her response was this: "You couldn't pay me $1 million either." See, it was her misery that was her ministry. She wasn't doing it for the money. She was doing it, carrying out a purpose for which God had given her. And she was finding the joy. Her reward was not a financial reward. Her reward was seeing how she's making the difference in the lives of other people. So when you look at this and you go, wait, what burden breaks my heart? You begin to look and you begin to see what is it that I could be using my life so that I could be doing something different? There's something really interesting with God's economy that's so different than ours. Because see, in God's economy, would we take and use our time, our energy, our effort, our resources, would we take and we do that and we use those for Him and for others in His name? When we do that, we get a return. But yet when we take and we live our life, and we go, okay, the way my economy works is, hey, I want more for me and mine, and so I'm going to do these things so that I can have a more fulfilling life, and I'm chasing it for me, it leaves us empty. And it's because we're not trying to live a life of purpose. We're trying to live a life of greed. So we've got to understand, if we're going to live on purpose, what is it we need to do? We need to understand, hey, what do I like to do? What do I do well? What burden breaks my heart? Next question is, what opportunities are in front of me right now? Or what opportunities do I have right now? What are the opportunities that are there? They're there for me, and that I should be doing something with this opportunity. What is it? What's out there? What should I be doing? What could I be doing? That if we would get to the point in life where we would stop negotiating our plan with God and instead just offer Him our hands instead of our plans and go, hey, God, these are the plans. This is really what I want you to do. Can you make this happen? And we beg. If we would stop trying to negotiate our plans with Him, instead offer Him our hands, we'd begin to see the opportunities that are in front of us. But see, we've got to slow down enough in life to see the opportunities that are there for us to be able to live out our purpose. So let me just share something with you, an experience that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. It's not an experience I'm happy about, not certainly one I'm proud of, but nonetheless, it's just real, and I'm just going to be transparent with you. So I was, about 2.5 weeks ago, I was heading to go meet a guy for lunch. I do what's called accountability. I meet with a guy almost every week, and we ask each other some in-your-face questions about how you're living your life, and are you living for Jesus, how are you taking care of your family, and what's your prayer life like, what are you doing with Bible study time? And we just get in each other's face, and we just make sure we hold each other accountable to live for God the way that we've said, this is what I want to do. So it's a standing appointment, happens every week. So I'm on my way to meet him for lunch. We're just going to a fast food restaurant. We'll eat, and then we'll go sit in a vehicle and get accountable. So right before I get to where we're going to meet up, I'm turning around at an intersection, and there's somebody there, and they're just holding a sign that says, "Just hungry." Nothing else, just hungry. And if you're like me, you see those signs all the time, and you're like going, yeah, that's your job, and that's the way for you to have a tax-free income. And so I tend to judge. I go in and I eat. And as we're walking out to go get in his vehicle that's backed into the parking lot facing the restaurant, this guy comes walking in. He goes inside for just a moment. I'm just kind of watching because I was just aware of it. And so we're sitting down. We're starting to get accountable. And the guy comes walking back outside the building. He goes over to a trash can that's sitting outside the building. And he starts digging through it. And as he's digging through it, he ends up pulling out a cup. Just a paper cup. Had a lid on it. He opened the lid. He sniffed it. Poured it out. Walked inside and got a drink. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, when we finish getting accountable, I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna buy this guy a meal. You know, it's an opportunity in front of me right now. I just need to do this. So we ended up having a much longer accountable conversation than what we typically ever have. And we're sitting in there, and I'm probably a little guilty of extending the conversation. Because I've told myself, if he's still there when I'm done, and it's convenient, then I'll go help. Well, I keep watching. He sat down inside, and after a few minutes, he ended up pulling out his pockets, and he has his pocket out, and he's going through some stuff. And I'm guessing, he's far enough away, I can't see all the details, but I'm guessing he's got a couple of singles that somebody's given him. And he ends up buying a lunch, and he comes back and brings it over, and he ends up eating. See, this was an opportunity that God gave me to go in and share the love of Jesus in a very practical way to somebody who appears to be very much genuinely in need. But I didn't act on it. Instead, I was being accountable. Talking about all the ways that my faith is important to me and that my ministry is important to me. And yet neglecting a ministry opportunity that God put right in front of me. We got to slow down enough. And we've got to be willing to see, and we've got to be willing to act. And if we're going to live on purpose, God, he's going to put opportunities in front of us. But we've got to be willing to act on them. We've got to be willing to stop and see and go, that's something I can do. And so we've got to stop negotiating our plans, and instead we've got to be offering our hands and saying, okay, God, I will do. I'll do what you want me to do. Last question is, who am I going to live for? Who am I going to live for? Am I going to live for me? Am I going to live for somebody else? Am I going to live for God? Who am I going to live for? Let me take you back to Matthew 25, where we looked last week. Starting in verse 19 with this made-up story so that Jesus could teach a spiritual truth. After a long time, their master returned from his trip. This was a wealthy master that entrusted servants with his money. And he called them to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had trusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more. Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags to invest, and I have earned 2 more. And the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. And when we look at this and we begin to understand, we can see all three had a declared master. All three had a declared master, and all three said, yes, you are my master. But only 2 of the 3 had actions that displayed that they had a master. Three declared it, two displayed it. It's not enough for us to just declare, God, you're my heavenly Father. God, you are my master. God, I live for you. It's not enough to just declare this. We won't live on purpose with just a declaration. That what we have to do is we have to display. And if you're a Christ follower, is your behavior clearly declaring Jesus is your master? Is your behavior declaring this instead of just your words? And we have to look at this. We've got to know, who is it that I'm going to live for? Because when we bow the knee of our heart to Jesus, he should become our master. And when we live with him being our master, we will find our purpose in life. And in that purpose, we will find the greatest joy in life. And when we live that way, we can live without regret. One last passage. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. So Paul the Apostle, he's writing, and he says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? That their purpose is, I'm just doing wrong, I'm just doing whatever I want, I'm just chasing my own. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. It's not a list of pet sins. It's not a list that you kind of look and you're going, oh good, none of mine were on there. It's a cursory shot that says, hey, be aware. And anybody who's living with that purpose, that you're just chasing these things, that's not a purpose that's going to get you into heaven. Because somebody who really understands who their Redeemer is, their Heavenly Father is, they don't stay living this way. So he goes on. He says, some of you were once like that. That's what you were living for. That's what you were doing. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. Think redeemed. Think forgiven. Think changed. You were cleansed. You were made holy. That means you were set apart by God. This one's different now. That's holy. Set apart. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. By calling on the name of Jesus, recognizing him as your Savior, and by the work of the Spirit in your life because you called on him. That's what makes us right. We can't earn ourselves into rightness, but we can submit ourselves into rightness. So we've got these purpose-revealing questions. What do I like to do? What do I do well? What burden breaks my heart? What opportunities are in front of me? Who am I going to live for? We can't pick and choose, but when we look at these as a whole and collectively, and we keep seeing the weightedness as we keep getting further in, we can see very clearly the direction that we begin to move toward, so that we can live a life without regret and we can live on purpose, and it'll keep us from wasting our lives. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are the one that you have created us. We've been created on purpose and for purpose. We've been created with purpose. I pray that we would be ones that would be willing to ask some questions and to seek you out so that we can discover to the full extent what purpose you've created us for. And that we would move in that direction. And in doing so, that we could live a life without regret. We could live a life that would be the most rewarding, most fulfilling life that we could have ever been created to do. God, I pray that if there's anybody in here that just really doesn't understand what that means to declare you as master, that doesn't understand why that's even necessary, I pray that your Spirit would make that clear. I pray that they would seek you and find you. And I pray for those that find that we would be willing to align our life with the purpose for which you've created us for. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.